If you would stand a moment here, I want to pray as I did first service. And as you know how the Holy Spirit does, what I spoke in first service, there's something different that God may want to say in the context of this audience this morning. So that's just how I like to flow. It's like where God wants to go is where I'm going to go. I want to pray for you. I was saying this a little bit earlier, you know, if you're a news junkie like me, it's probably not good that you're always looking at Fox and CNN and Drudge, and it is a drudge when you read Drudge. Every time you read Matthew Drudge, it's like apocalyptic. You know, you think you're living in the tribulation period when you read the Drudge Report. But let me just say this to you, and I think there's we have to be careful. The thing about world events is nothing new. All world events are everything that Jesus said would happen, and Paul said would be indicative of the last day. Nothing to fear. If you think the world is unraveling, this nation is unraveling, let me just tell you this. God bless Des Moines, Iowa, and the metro region. I'm going to tell you why. It's because when I'm looking at cities in upheaval, and we're looking all across America, and it's like, what city is next? I want you to know something. Not just because you see it happening in everywhere else, let's not think that that's going to be the case for Des Moines, Iowa, and the metro. Let's believe that we are a city of refuge. Let's believe that we are a template for our nation. Let's believe that God is doing some great things in our city that can be exported to other cities. Just because we see this and, you know, whatever it is, it's, you know, Black Lives Matter, White Lives Matter, All Lives Matter, Blue Lives Matter. You know what? At the end of the day, it don't matter what anybody thinks. It's what God thinks is what really matters at the end of the day. Amen. And so that's what I'm going to choose to focus on, not with everybody moving all over. We're seeing a lot of fast, accelerated things happening in the earth. And don't be troubled. Jesus said, lift up your eyes because you know I'm coming back. And that's going to be the greatest finale in human history. That's what we look forward to, is the blessed hope. I'm not looking at whether or not it's a Trump administration or a Hillary one. I can best bet you. Either which way, it's a flawed administration, okay? There's only one perfect administration that will come, and that's when Jesus rules in the millennial kingdom, and you don't have to worry about injustice, unfairness. The Prince of Peace, when he rules, everything is going to be aligned. Everything is going to be perfected. When we see him in that day, that which is imperfect becomes perfect. And so I just want to challenge you and be encouraged. Don't take on a lot of baggage of bad news. Who wants bad news? You know, if you're around the water cooler and everybody's talking about, you know, bad news, give them some good news. Come on. I go to community meetings, and it's no joke time. I go to community meetings, and it's a room full of leaders. Leaders! And everything is negative. And what isn't working in Des Moines? I'm like, you know what? Get up and move somewhere else. You don't think it's working here? Go somewhere else and see if it'll work any better. Probably wouldn't work any better if you weren't there, right? So this morning, I want to encourage you. I think I have a word that I'm walking through right now, and I believe it's just everything that's going on in people's lives and around our country right now with a lot of uncertainty, but there are some things that are assured. And so would you just lock hands with a neighbor, and I want to pray for you today. Maybe you're in this room. You know, when I go to church, well, you are the church, by the way. Wherever you go, I shared it in first hour. You are a kingdom embassy. You bring the presence of the living God wherever you go. You know, joy, if you go to work and you hate it, you're carrying joy with you. If you bring joy into that workplace and you start hugging on everybody, loving on everybody, and then pretty soon it's infectious, and that environment and that atmosphere changes wherever you go. Amen. You ever come in a room, you can feel discouragement, you can feel, listen, it should not be in this room. Come on. It just got through singing about an awesome God in this place. If God is in this place, and if all power is in his hand, we shouldn't be discouraged when we come in here. We should put on a garment of praise and let the spirit of heaviness, even if you don't like country. Hey, I'm a little bit hip-hop. I'm a little bit, contemporary. You know, that's my style, a little bit Brad. But that's all right. It's got the lyrics. That's what matters, right? You know, I didn't grow up on that. I grew up on salsa. I grew up on disco. Probably the most traumatic point of my life is growing through the disco era. But you know what I'm saying? It's a sound. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen? It's not about circumstances. It's really about out of your innermost being. In fact, sometimes I found myself like, man, get my favorite CD on, and you don't get to see me dance, so I'll just go in a private little space somewhere and just worship the living God. It's like, God, get me out of this mess. I'm discouraged. I'm frustrated. So, you know, and we better be practicing, because heaven is going to have banners. It's going to be the nation singing. It's going to be live. It's going to be festive. It's going to be bright. Won't need lights. Won't need microphones. It's going to be a mass celebration. So you're going to feel real out of place coming in here like this in the middle of a worship set up in heaven, because if you got your head down and, you know, you're walking in there, you're going to be feel pretty much out of place. And we are right now walking that through. So let's pray. Join hands. And I'm going to pray for you. Whatever you're going through, I'm not diminishing what you're going through. Maybe it's financial. Maybe it's a job transition. Maybe you're fighting a health issue. I want to speak to that for a quick second. If you're fighting something, I just told, and I, Pastor Brent is here, and I said, Pastor Brent, first service, I have to forgiveness. But I was telling the staff this week, you want to hear a miracle? You want to hear a miracle? This will blow your faith out of the water, okay? Because God's not a respecter of persons. I just shared it with the staff this week. Many of you guys seen pictures. I think I might have my daughter here. You seen the picture I've showed? I have a CT ultrasound scan, a 3D of her entire head. She has Nager's syndrome, which means she had this much of an airway. Not much. So my daughter is trait. She's a trait child, okay? We've done 4 surgeries on her lower jaw to bring forward, they call mandibular distractions, where it's very painful. So that they cut open the bottom of her face, they stick hardware in there, stitch it up, and out of the sides of her head, they have these little mini ratchets, and you would have to turn that ratchet 360 for about a month until her face is fully pulled forward, which is very painful, because when we first did it, I would have to sit her down and hold her down. 3 of us would hold her down with Tylenol, and we'd have to crank that thing. And it was excessively painful for about a month and a half, but after a month and a half, her face was a little fuller. We've gone through 4 of those. She is 6. Every one of them never yielded the results we thought they were. So as parents, we became very discouraged by what doctors say. Because doctors, you have to understand, are practicing physicians. Practicing physicians, okay? They're not perfect. They don't know everything. And so a year ago, we did a CT scan of her head for something. I don't know what the surgery was. We just did another one, and we installed titanium snaps in her head, in the bone back here, because she's deaf. And so we drilled 2 holes. They pulled the skin back, drilled the snap in there, and they're still healing, which would snap her hearing aids right here. And so we had to do another CT scan while she was out after that surgery to see where we were. In a year's time, we had nearly a 7-millimeter airway created, and we have no idea how that happened, not with the surgery. So somewhere between a year ago when that CT scan was first done, God created an airway, airway is an 8-millimeter, 9-millimeter. So somewhere over, now check this out. This will blow you out because my daughter probably knew something. She's deaf, so she signs. And so I was telling the staff this week, and let this be a faith booster to you, because you never know what God's doing beneath the surface over a period of a year or years or whatever. But we went into our ENT, and our ENT goes to Lutheran Church of Hope, and he looked at Anna. He said, Anna, I just don't know how you're breathing, because we capped her. When you cap off a child, that means Anna's got to be breathing through here and through here without an airway. Okay, this was months ago. And he looked at her, and he said, Anna, how are you breathing? And she said, we didn't know, but maybe it could be that God was speaking to Anna, that he was opening her airway, and we didn't know for about a period of a year. I'm here to tell somebody in this room this morning, I don't care what your background is, if you're Lutheran, Presbyterian, Baptist, Catholic, whatever you are, or whatever your background is, God is still in the business of healing. He's still in the business of doing miracles. And when you come in this place, come in here with that need and believing God. He's still working, and he who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. He ain't done yet with you, and he ain't done with your family either. That's some good news for the Perez household. After 6 years of frustration with doctors and
sleepless nights and stressful nights and wondering if this is ever going to change and wonder if I can ever get rid of nurses out of my house and gone through 60 nurses and gone through frustration and gone through financial problems only to know, be patient, because whatever he's working in you is not just the airway, but he's also working something on the inside of you that he's getting ready to set you up to steward in the future. And believe me, it's better than where you've been, and it's greater. And I came here this morning because I'm not reading off of notes. I'm just going Holy Ghost right now. And I'm here to tell you this morning, God's got a miracle. God's got a plan. God's got a design. God's got something in the future. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has ordained for you. So I'm telling you, if God, you came in here with cancer, fibromyalgia, lupus, blood diseases, arthritis, whatever it is, I'm telling you this morning, my God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you could ask or imagine. Amen, Al. Preach to you. Grab a neighbor by the hand, and I'm going to pray for you today. That boosted my faith so much this week because we have just gone through as a family just being frustrated. We've been frustrated. And to find that out, it just happened on an ordinary day. My wife comes walking in after the appointment. She says to me, she says, how long do you think ER would take to get to the house right now if her trach got loose? And I said, 5 minutes, 5-6 minutes. She goes, we took her trach out over there at the ENT for 5-6 minutes. She was breathing on her own without it. I'm like, what? And they, yeah. And by the way, she has a nearly 7-millimeter airway. I said, how'd that happen? We done 4 surgeries and it didn't yield that. But God, he's still working. He's still working in my life. And he's still working in your life and in your family's life. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And I said again, rejoice. Because you never know that one day that you just didn't expect God to sneak up on you and tell you a miracle has happened today in your house. I've got it for you. There's no big fanfare. There's no big fireworks or whatever. God just shows up and announces something he just did undercover. So what I'm saying is God's doing something undercover in your life and in my life right now. And let's just go before the Lord and let's just ask God to do some great things in our life. Amen. Let's pray. Father, right now, whew, I felt like I already preached. God, we just thank you that the flower fades. Lord, I just thank you, but your word is forever settled. I thank you that you we can trust you. Thank you that you are ever faithful. While we are faithless, you are faithful still. Somebody in this room needs to be encouraged. They came in here today thinking that that wasn't going to happen. But I, just like anything else, you came to surprise them. You came to tell them, Lord, before you do a new thing, before it springs in our midst, you'll make it known. And God, I just pray you fill somebody's heart up with faith. God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus Christ that, God, if you're in this room, it is in your heart and your desire that none should be in this room having to deal with sicknesses and diseases. And God, that's what you went to Calvary for. You were wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon you. And by your stripes, we are healed. So God, for everyone that is dealing with a physical infirmity, we forget none of your benefits, who forgives all our iniquities, who heals all our diseases. And in this place today, God, I just pray for that grandmother, that grandfather, that mom or that dad, that person that's going through worry. They're looking at their checking account, banking account, they're worried. They're looking at right now the health problems they're dealing with. They're looking at aggravation on the work front. God, they're just tired with life and tired of bad news. God, I just thank you today that you are just shouting from the rooftops that you're still alive forevermore and you're still doing great things, God. And so today we just give you the next few moments we have, and we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to be quick. Isn't that a joke? I'm going to be quick. I will. I promise. I'll try to get done with this real quick. Joshua chapter 1, real quick, 1 through 7. And I want to talk to you this morning that I think everything that's happening right now, this is kind of at least where I am. I can't give you something that I myself am not walking through. And so when you see me up here, I'm not just a, like, man, that guy shouts a lot. What's wrong with him? You know, he's a little intense. Let me tell you something. Because I don't get up here and speak something that I don't own. I'm not going to speak or preach something to you that I'm not walking through passionately. I'm not going to say something to you that I myself am not walking through or have made it through. Okay? And so I want to talk to you this morning, which I see, I have a lot of friends, I know a lot of people that are going through transition. This church is experiencing some transitions, if you will. And they're not bad. Transitions aren't bad things. They're good things because God is ever bringing us from faith to faith and glory to glory. And whatever challenges lie ahead is for your good. It's never to, you know, God is not in the business of seeing you fail or trying to give you something more than what you're able to bear. There are times when I was walking through this last few years and I thought, God, man, I can't take it anymore. It is intense. I can't take this. This journey is far too difficult for me. And one thing I've learned after 6 years is that all along God was building perseverance and God was building trust and God was building faith for the things I would steward later on. See, it's important to the degree and the depth of the challenge, to the degree and depth of the trial or struggle or whatever you're walking through, is to the degree of the blessing and the territory and the kingdom entrustment God wants to give you. And I'm sitting there thinking, I'm walking through a 6 year and still going difficult. And that's just on one front. So God, whatever those last 6 years of probably the most intense time of my Christian experience, my Christian walk, it was one of those things, Larry, where I just couldn't negotiate with God to get out. Now, I could have left my family. I could have just said, you know what? Can't do this, babe. It's too hard. I'm stressing out. I can't eat. I can't sleep. I can't, because daddies like to fix things. So I can't fix this. So you get frustrated. And the easiest thing would just to say, let's just get out of here and do it. But that's not what God wanted me to do. And because I stuck it in the fire, and because I stayed in that fire, and I stayed in that heat, and I trusted God, look what the things that God has been doing in my life. And it's all to the glory and praise of God. It had nothing to do with me. But along through that, I learned something about my father that I didn't know before I went in that thing 6 years ago. I realized he is faithful. I realized he's a state. When he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you, that was so proven in the last several years because doctors came, nurses came, people come and go in your life. In transitions, nobody likes them because we just like to be comfortable. When you go through a divine transition, people like to stay safe in an area and comfortable with it. Because when you're comfortable with it and you're safe with it, then you just kind of, which is not saying it's not a bad thing to be familiar with your environment, but what happens when God starts stirring something in your heart and God starts doing something in you and you're feeling like something, my world's about to change or something's about to shift or something's going on in my life. And I told the last service, a transition is always internal first. It's not about you going to another church. It's not about you going to another city to work. It's not about you and your family moving here or going there or whatever. Those moves are only manifestations of something already that's been stirring in your life and your heart that provokes you to step into wherever you're supposed to go or wherever you're supposed to be. I'm going to tell you something. You had better be where you are supposed to be. You don't move out of places too soon either in transitions. You move out too soon, and it could be a very deadly thing or a very difficult thing if you move out ahead of God before God moves you when you're supposed to move. We're supposed to be in step with the Spirit, but don't move yourself too far ahead. If you get too far ahead of God, you end up doing what Abraham did, and then you have, not only do you have an Isaac, but you have an Ishmael you have to deal with in your life. And so it's so critical and important for us to hear God and not be afraid to hold his hand and say, okay, you're going to go into a territory and you're going to go into a place you're not familiar with, but this is where you trust me. And sometimes God will do that with you. Let me read our text this morning and we'll expound. Well, we're going to look at the first seven verses, Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 through 7. It says, now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then you and all these people get ready. Look at your neighbor and say, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot. By the way, you like my kicks this morning? Bright red? There you go, right here. I pulled these things out this morning. I put a little bit much, but anyway, I like them. And it says, get ready to cross the Jordan into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. Everywhere your foot goes, as I promised Moses, your territory I will extend to the desert of Lebanon, to the great river Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea, to the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead this people to inherit the land I swore to your ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. I just want to talk to you real briefly as I can about divine transitions. Let me tell you something. Your tomorrow is showing up today. Whatever you feel God's leading you to, you could be sitting in it, you could be thinking about it, or you're somewhere close to it. He's always giving you little clues. You know how I ended up here? I ended up here about 4 years ago. Pastor John had opened up his doors for me to use this building with pastors I was meeting with in the city. And before long, you know, we were constantly meeting here and connecting here. And before I knew it, I didn't know that several years ago that I would end up being a staff person here. If you would have asked me 4 years ago, I would have been like, I would have never seen it coming. But I was already getting the clues of where I was going, okay? So God every day could be dropping you a clue about where you're going or where he wants to take you or what he wants to do with you. He doesn't leave you completely in the dark, and he's not into culture shocking you either. When you go through transitions, the reason why they're transitions is because if there is not some way of bringing you along, there would be probably, whatever he wants to bring you into, you would be ill-prepared for. For instance, when I was in Chicago at 7th or 8th grade, I lived in inner city Chicago, so I was joking a little bit earlier. I grew up in the disco era. I grew up in a Latino community, so it was a lot of salsa and discotheques. And, you know, you early in the morning, I'm not kidding, you guys, early in the morning, you could be hearing salsa music right below you in the store, right below you, and you live in an apartment. It's like, dun, 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 dun. And it's like 7 in the morning. I'm like, who's putting on loud music? Store below us is putting on loud salsa music. But I lived in inner city Chicago. When I moved out of the city into the suburbs, oh my goodness, it was a culture shock. But my parents had to do it because of safety. I had to move out of gang territory. I had to be moved right into the suburbs. I'm going to tell you what, as a junior higher, I went from disco to heavy metal, bro. I oh God, Lord Jesus. I'm like, oh, you know, and it was like night and day. I was used to kids of color, and now I was in a predominantly white school. And I'm like, it's culture shock. I didn't feel like I fit. I was the most awkward seventh grader you ever, because I'm in there, I'm like, first of all, my school went up to eighth grade. So I was in an elementary school that took me out. Here I am in junior high. And I have my own locker, and I have to go from class to class to class. And the it was a culture shock. But here's what's interesting. Listen to this. You may find this to be a strange illustration, but let this encourage you, okay? I grew up I lived in an apartment above a furniture store. And this sounds kind of gross, but it's a reality, and it's the reality of many families that this church ministers to. Because it was so drastic, and it was such a night and day place, it was hard for me to receive the better place, because I was so used to being with rats and roaches that I didn't understand what it was to have a nice little pond to fish in as a seventh grader out in the back of my house or in my subdivision. And I lived in a nice apartment that didn't have rats and roaches. And I didn't have alleys. It was nice playgrounds. And it was like this better place to raise a family. But for 6 months, I was having night terrors that I was still living in Chicago with roaches. It was like this, I would wake up in the middle of the night like, this isn't real, this isn't real, this isn't real. And the reality is that I was in a better place and it was okay. But when you don't have a transition to prepare you from, you know, you are culture shocked into an environment you're not necessarily prepared for. So God has to transition us, whether it's your workplace, whether it is a church, whether it is a ministry, whether it is a school, whatever it is, God brings us along in places. He doesn't yank you. He doesn't just drag you. He invites you always into something better. Moses dies, and it's probably one of the most profound statements at the very beginning, because it is the cessation or the end of an era, and a good one. Because the Bible says in the previous chapter that Moses was one of the greatest prophets Israel had ever seen. He did great and mighty wonders in Egypt, and he was a man that knew God face to face. And yet now he's dead. So all that Israel had known was this man. And now there's a shift that's taking place. And now all of a sudden Joshua would be given the task to pick up and now fulfill the thing that was given to Moses to do. And now he would have that great responsibility. And you can probably believe that he was a little fearful. He knew what was ahead of him. He knew there were giants. He knew that 40 years prior, what there was come. But now would be the time. Now you're going to face the giants. Now you're going to take this generation in. You know what I find most interesting about that? Let me just say this, because it prefaces a wilderness. Sometimes in transition, you'll go through a wilderness and you don't understand. It feels like God leaves you. Feels like you're all alone. Feels like the most weirdest place to be. Your wildernesses are so necessary. In church life, people come into church, it's like, hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm blessed. I'm doing great. I'm fine. Everything's fine. Everything's perfect. And the reality is, it's not. But you see the knee-jerk reaction for us to feel like everything's okay. Hey, it's okay to say you're going through a hard time. It's okay to say I'm going through struggle. I'm in transition. I don't know what God's doing. I'm going through this really funky time, and I don't know what's going on. I know he's true. I know he's faithful, but I can't hear God. I don't know what's going on. I'm in this weird place. I'm in a wilderness, which is a preparation. Now get this. In wildernesses, the generation that was in there before was the generation of unbelief. They did not believe God. Therefore, their sentencing would be to wander in this wilderness for 40 years. A mindset of unbelief. It would be the next generation that would go with Joshua into the land of Canaan because they didn't carry the baggage with them. I'm talking to somebody in this room. If God is moving you in transition, you cannot carry your baggage from the past into something good. It could be a trip up for you in the future. I don't know what it is. But somewhere in that wilderness, let him work on you. Because whatever he wants you to steward, you can't have that thing come showing up in your life when he's giving you something good, and you're going to end up messing it up. That's a word for somebody in this room. In transitions, make sure you leave all, because what could have taken 11 days ends up taking you a generation to get through. I don't know about you. I was just telling a couple here who's now attending here. It's like, you're getting older. You don't have time to be messing around with what God's doing in your life to sit around and wait. You got to get up and move and go and do what God's calling you to do. You ain't got too many more years left. And I'm getting there, too. I'm getting there just as well. We're all getting a little older. We don't have time to play around anymore. We've got to do what God calls us to do. Otherwise, you're going to be in a place very frustrated, wondering. It seems like, too, when you're in transition, everybody's doing better than you, and everybody's, you know, God's doing, they're doing this and doing that, and you somehow feel like you're left all alone. Don't be envious of somebody else's transition or somebody else's place, because I can tell you something. Super Dave can be going through a great time in his life, and my time could probably stink. I shouldn't sit back like, man, you know, just because I'm walking through a wilderness and he's walking in his land of promise, I shouldn't sit back like, man, that stinks. I'm not walking in my wilderness. Why should I celebrate what's going on in his life? I should just, and that's how we are. Listen, wildernesses are necessary for you and I, and if you know how to survive in them, I'm telling you what, whatever God has for you in the future, you're going to be able to do it, what God's calling you to do, if you guys are able to steward wildernesses well. But they're necessary. They're necessary preparatory places. People hate them. People don't like them. They're spiritually dry places, but they're necessary places, and God sustains you in those places. He does. But we somehow just think that, you know, we all want to walk in the, it'd be like, okay, here, Aiden, here's the keys to the car. Go drive, son. Aiden is 10. If I want a car wreck and not have a car left, you don't give a car keys to a 10-year-old who, A, is not of the proper age to step in a car, let alone, you know, be able to fit in the car and see over the dashboard. It just would be foolishness and logical thinking that you give somebody something that you know they're not ready for. So why would God give you something greater that you're not ready for now when you're not ready for it? He prepares you for it. You can best bet it's always something good and great, but he prepares you for it. We don't like the preparing part because we want to like microwave fast. God, get me through this. Okay, I'm all for the good stuff, but can you get me through in a week? Because, you know, I want to enjoy this ride. It don't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Now, I'm about to tell you something, and this is an encouragement to somebody in this room. Okay, hear me. I was walking to the Capitol one time. I go to the Capitol quite often, okay? And I was walking to the Capitol one time, Larry, and I could see the Gold Dome. And I've been in that building many, many times. So here I'm walking across the thing, and I froze for a moment. And I stood out there, and I don't know what it was that stopped me. I stopped, and all of a sudden, I was almost like having a flashback of that little Hispanic kid running around the alleys of Chicago, you know, just in poverty. And I was like, here I am. I'm getting ready to go in, and I'm going to meet the GOP House Speaker on behalf of Latino people. And I'm saying, what's wrong with this picture, this great disconnect of this little rugrat over here? So God caught me in a moment and said, your whole life, I've been preparing you for something great. Even when you didn't know it, even when you were that little kid running around the alleys in the streets of Chicago, you didn't know I had a great plan for your life. Every young person in this room, hear me what I'm about to tell you. God has an amazing plan for your life. It may not look like you're supposed to be there right now, but trust me, you stick with him. He'll get you to where you need to be. Your whole life is setting the stage, and it all points to a good God setting you up and preparing you. Joshua was intimidated because he looked at his successor. Do you know when God calls you to do something, you there ought to be something in you that'll be a little scared, and there ought to be something in you that's attracted to it and repelled by it all at the same time. God, I'm excited about what you want me to do, but I'm a little scared because I don't have the skill set. I don't have enough faith. I don't feel like I'm holy enough. You got all the excuses of why you feel you can't do what God called you to do. I'm here to tell you something today, that God is working in somebody's life, and I'm standing up here, I'm telling you this. I'm telling you about a little scared Mexican kid with two dropout parents, a teenage mom, no education, gang-infested terror. If I could come from all that, and God could let me sit with the governor, lieutenant governor, legislators, chief of police, all these people. And trust me, I'm not one of those guys that's starstruck. So I don't, when I meet with these people in the city, I don't sit there and think, oh, wow, I'm wonderful. Can I get your autograph? I'm not like that. I meet with them because you know what? I know that God, I represent the kingdom of God. I represent the voice of God to some of the people I meet with. How many of you students are in here that go to Des Moines Public Schools? Anybody up in here? Des Moines Public School? Nobody. Yeah, we got a couple of them here. Yes! I have to tell you what I talked with the superintendent, private meeting. I was telling all these guys. And it's not about that. I don't gloat in that. It's just to say, it says something about the call of the Lord on your life. What he can do with you. If you yield to him, you can say, uncle? Or you can say, no, I'm not doing it. But I'll tell you what, if you want to live in a wilderness, a spiritual wilderness, you know what? It goes from a wilderness to a desert. There's a distinct difference from biblical wildernesses and deserts. You know, a desert is something that you end up in, and that's on your own because of your own decisions. A wilderness is God will bring you through something to prepare you for something. He hides you away only to bring you out to do something great. A desert is when you decide that I'm not going to do this, and I'm going to go out here and go and see if you can survive. You better have some good survival tactics to survive in a spiritual desert and live, because the only thing out there are buzzards and scorpions and all those kinds of things. Dryness. All right, let me get through here real quick, okay, because we should be done. But let me say this. So there's a transition of leadership. Joshua is now getting up. God's telling him, okay, now, he says, you're going to go into this land. You're going to do everything I had said for a long time. It's going to finally now come to pass. Here we are. You're getting ready to cross on over. I was with Moses, so I'm going to be with you. God shows his faithfulness one generation to the next generation. God is a faithful God. He keeps his word, unlike people who tell you, oh, I got your back. Oh, I'm with you. Oh, you can call me anytime. People can be fickle like that. When you're in transitions, there's generally sometimes you see faces changing your life. If you're not in a transition, if everything is all the same, usually you want to know what a transition looks like in your own practical life. When you start seeing new faces show up in your life of other believers, that's a good indicator that God is transitioning something in your life. Things are about to change. Because the faces in your life are about to change, and they bring something, and you bring something to them. That's a good indicator God's bringing transition. And so he tells them, look, I know what's ahead of you. I know the opposite. The sons of Anak are in the land there. And the Bible says that they looked at them as though they were grasshoppers, and we saw ourselves as grasshoppers in their sight. These were big men, giants, the men of renown that were living in Canaan. Wouldn't you be fearful? And he knows this is coming, but before he faces the challenge, a good God says this, be strong and courageous. And since you didn't hear it the first time, let me say it two more times. Be strong and courageous. Here's what I want you to know. The day I got that ultrasound and I was in that office and I sat there, the lady was a Christian. Our crisis OB was a Christian lady. Thank God. God went before us. A Christian. Never once said, do you want to abort this baby? Do you want to? Never said that at all. I didn't even let her know I was a minister. I said nothing. I was so emotionally shut off from what was going on in my mind. And all I could look at was one of the greatest challenges in my life, because up until that point, you have to know there's some things I know how to do and do very well. And I can get myself through a lot of things. This one was one of those trials. I couldn't do anything. I had an option to get out of our marriage and out of our family. I had that option. It was an option in my world. So I was looking at a giant. I was looking at a medical giant. I was looking at a complete life change. God gave me 7 months to prepare for what the next several years would be like. He gave me 7 months in a quick, fast-track course. And it wasn't looking any better in the ultrasounds until finally we had to get Anna out. I didn't know what to do. I had no grid for it. What do you do when God calls you into something you don't have a grid for, but he knows you can make it through? What do you do when God already knows you're going to make it through? Otherwise, he wouldn't bring you through that tailor-made trial if he didn't already know. See, can I tell you something? God knows more about what he's deposited in you and what he wants to do with you than you know. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows how he divinely designed you. Isn't that crazy? And in your mind, in the now, you're saying, I can't do that. Can't happen. I don't know how we're going to do it. He does. He does. Don't fear. You know what I think? I don't think it's the giants that people are afraid of. I think you guys are fearful of change. That's what I think a lot of people are afraid of. Change. I talked about in the earlier service, the fear of man. Isn't it interesting? God tells Joshua, no man will stand before you this day. Why? Because he was fearful of flesh inhibiting him. I said it to first service. Some of us are people pleasers in this room. Some of you are afraid to tell people no. Some of you in this room are fearful to let people down. Some of you in this room don't. Some of you in this room can't express your real self because you may feel somebody's going to be disappointed in you. That's the fear of man. Do you know that? If you got to go on with God, don't worry what people say. If you got to do what God called you to do, don't be worrying about and asking about five opinions of what you should do. Sometimes if you get too many opinions, you may not do it. Listen to the Lord. Be strong. I said it in the Hebrew. It means to fasten and to have a firm grip and sound legs, kind of. Hold on. God's moving in this day. Hold on to the Lord. That's the one sure thing you have, you and I have in this time, is holding fast to God. Not people, places, things. I've had people come and go in my life, and I've had to let them go. I have friends in my life that are still friends. It's just the nature of our relationship changes. I'm over here, you're over there. Doesn't mean I have to be in the same church. I let them know I'm moving on into a different ministry venture. I can still be friends with you, but it doesn't mean our relationship is still going to be the same. I'm over here. Takes on a different dynamic. You grow with relationships. Relationships change, and they should in transitions. Why? Because you're only going to be as good about the people you're hanging with. You're only going to walk in a level of excellence determined by the people you are with. That's why God brings them. And by the way, don't shun them. Don't. From the least to the greatest, God's watching how you steward every little thing. He who is faithful in little is ruler over much more. You don't know sometimes. It's what Father watches. So every homeless person you think you can blow off, or every little situation where you think they're not important, or every little thing that you overlook, God doesn't. Because if you can steward the small, it's like I can give you bigger and more. And to the degree you do it, to the greater degree he gives it to you. Close with this. He says, only be strong and very courageous. He tells him what the parameters of his territory is about to be enlarged. Up until this point, it was a wilderness. Now, he says concerning this place, it's houses you didn't build and vineyards you didn't plant. There are things you're going to step into that you didn't even sow for. That's how good God is. He's going to give you things and entrust you with things that you absolutely had no play, no say, or any hand in. That's how good he is. He will give you things. And there are things I'm stewarding that Al didn't build, Al didn't start, Al didn't even think up. But somehow I'm ending stewarding them, and they're not mine. They're somebody else's. Why? It's because he trusts you. Zion Lutheran Church, he trusts you. And today, hear this, because God's about to do some great things in your life. And I want you to stand with me right now before we go to communion. And Pastor Brent, would you come on up? Give it up for Pastor Brent. Amen. Come on. When I think of Pastor Brent, I was like, you can't get any more solid and stable than him. He's just a really solid friend. And you talk about new friends and new faces. So I have to look at Pastor Brent in my life as, okay, new face in my life. That means God wants to bless me. New faces in your life. I want to pray for you this morning because transition and change is happening. It's happening in America, and some of it's not for the good. Change and transition is happening for you, and it is good. You hear what I said? It may not be good around you, but the good is always for you, because that's all that God can do for you is good. Doesn't mean that you won't walk through hardship, but the hardship he knows. If I right now said to Pastor Brent, hold this 100-pound dumbbell in your hand. I wouldn't tell him to not hold 100 pounds if I didn't already have foreknowledge that Pastor Brent can hold a 100-pound barbell. Wouldn't that be dumb? Why would I want to say in front of everybody, like, here, Pastor Brent, hold this and watch him drop it? God's not in the business of embarrassing you. He's in the business of even letting your enemy know. See what he can hold down? See what he can hold up? See what he can carry? Listen to this. Now, close. I know it's a little long, but God's speaking. Let me just say this. I said this in the first hour. If you go back and you read through Numbers and Deuteronomy, you'll find out that the enemies were very fearful of them coming. They knew, uh-oh. Here's Joshua thinking, giants, now we're going to face them. And their enemies are on the other side of the double fortified walls of Jericho and all the other places. And they're like, they're coming, they're coming. I'm just going to tell you right now, the satanic realm, the realm of darkness, is probably more afraid of you than you are of him. Why? I said this to you before. When you just read chapter 1, it already tells you what he's coming with. If you were the enemy, wouldn't you be scared? He's coming. They're coming here, and God's with them. And God's all in the business of embarrassing the evil one. Colossians 2 said he was stripped down of all his power at the cross, made a public spectacle in front of all the universe, in front of the angels, embarrassed when Jesus rose again. So your enemy's running around embarrassed and scared of you. And the only tactic he has is a hit and run. He tries to throw eggs at your car and because if he sticks around long enough, you might cast him out or you might take authority over him. So I'm here to tell you this morning. Listen to me. Your enemy knows something about the strength that God's deposited in you. Don't ever forget that. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Grab your neighbor's hand real quick. God, I just thank you right now for the men and women of God in this place. And we're already transitioning. You're speaking to our hearts. You're speaking to all of us right now. Something is moving in this house. Something is happening on 4300 Beaver. Something that you're stirring, something that you're bringing. God, I'm just asking right now we stay the course. We stay faithful. I don't care if hell presses in hard. I don't care how many arrows the enemy attacks us with. I don't care how much doubt he throws, sickness he throws. I don't care how much discouragement he throws. Nothing with the armor of God is going to be able to penetrate what you've already equipped us to do in this battle. And so, Father, I ask you right now, in Jesus' name, continue to give us the strategy, continue to give us the finance, continue to give us the manpower, that the kingdom of God is advanced from this house. So, God, I ask you right now for every family here that's going through challenges. They wouldn't be going through something if you already didn't know they had the strength and they had the ability through you to make it through. So grab their hand and God help them through whatever wilderness they're walking through, whatever transition they're walking through. And God, I ask you right now, none of our hearts fail right now. We can't afford to fail right now in Jesus' name.